16. The seventh planet, then, was the Earth. The Earth is not just another planet. It contains 111 kings, including, of course, the African kings, 7,000 geographers, 900,000 businessmen, 7.5 million drunkards, 311 million vain men, in other words, about 2 billion grown-ups. To give you a notion of the Earth's dimensions, I can tell you that before the invention of electricity, it was necessary to maintain, over the whole of 6 continents, a veritable army of 462,511 lamplighters. Seen from some distance, this made a splendid effect. The movements of this army were ordered like those of a ballet. First came the turn of the lamplighters of New Zealand and Australia. Then these, having lit their street lamps, would go home to sleep. Next it would be the turn of the lamplighters of China and Siberia to perform their steps in the lamplighters' ballet. And then they too would vanish into the wings. Then came the turn of the lamplighters of Russia and India, then those of Africa and Europe, then those of South America and of North America, and they never missed their cues for their appearances on stage. It was awe-inspiring. Only the lamplighter of the single street lamp at the North Pole and his colleague of the single street lamp at the South Pole led carefree, idle lives. They worked twice a year. 17. Trying to be witty leads to lying, more or less. What I just told you about the lamplighters isn't completely true, and I risk giving a false idea of our planet to those who don't know it. Men occupy very little space on Earth. If the 2 billion inhabitants of the globe were to stand close together, as they might for some big public event, they would easily fit into a city block that was 20 miles long and 20 miles wide. You could crowd all of humanity onto the smallest Pacific islet. Grown-ups, of course, won't believe you. They're convinced they take up much more room. They consider themselves as important as the baobabs, so you should advise them to make their own calculations. They love numbers, and they'll enjoy it. But don't waste your time on this extra task. It's unnecessary. Trust me. So once he reached the Earth, the little prince was quite surprised not to see anyone. He was beginning to fear he had come to the wrong planet when a moon-colored loop uncoiled on the sand. "Good evening," the little prince said, just in case. "Good evening," said the snake. "What planet have I landed on?" asked the little prince. "On the planet Earth, in Africa," the snake replied. "Ah, and are there no people on Earth?" "It's the desert here." "There are no people in the desert. Earth is very big," said the snake. The little prince sat down on a rock and looked up into the sky. "I wonder," he said, "if the stars are lit up so that each of us can find his own some day. Look at my planet. It's just overhead, but so far away." "It's lovely," the snake said. "What have you come to Earth for?" "I'm having difficulties with a flower," the little prince said. "Ah," said the snake. And they were both silent. "Where are the people?" the little prince finally resumed the conversation. "It's a little lonely in the desert."
"It's also lonely with people," said the snake.
The little prince looked at the snake for a long time.
"You're a funny creature," he said at last, "no thicker than a finger." "But I'm more powerful than a king's finger," the snake said.
The little prince smiled. "You're not very powerful. You don't even have feet. You couldn't travel very far."
"I can take you further than a ship," the snake said.
He coiled around the little prince's ankle like a golden bracelet.
Anyone I touch, I send back to the land from which he came, the snake went on. But you're innocent, and you came from a star.
The little prince made no reply.
I feel sorry for you, being so weak on this granite earth, said the snake. I can help you some day. If you grow too homesick for your planet, I can...
Oh, I understand what you mean, said the little prince. But why do you always speak in riddles?
I solve them all, said the snake,
and they were both silent. 18. The little prince crossed the desert and encountered only one flower, a flower with three petals, a flower of no consequence.
Good morning, said the little prince.
Good morning, said the flower.
Where are the people? The little prince inquired politely.
The flower had one day seen a caravan passing.
People? There are 6 or 7 of them, I believe, in existence. I caught sight of them years ago, but you never know where to find them. The wind blows them away. They have no roots, which hampers them a good deal.
Goodbye, said the little prince.
Goodbye, said the flower.
19. The little prince climbed a high mountain. The only mountains he had ever known were the three volcanoes, which came up to his knee, and he used the extinct volcano as a footstool.
From a mountain as high as this one, he said to himself, I'll get a view of the whole planet and all the people on it.
But he saw nothing but rocky peaks as sharp as needles.
Hello,
he said, just in case.
Hello, hello, hello,
the echo answered.
Who are you? Asked the little prince.
Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
The echo answered.
Let's be friends. I'm lonely,
he said.
I'm lonely.
I'm lonely.
The echo answered. What a peculiar planet, he thought. It's all dry and sharp and hard, and people here have no imagination. They repeat whatever you say to them. Where I live, I had a flower. She always spoke first. 20. But it so happened that the little prince, having walked a long time through sand and rocks and snow, finally discovered a road, and all roads go to where there are people.
Good morning, he said.
It was a blossoming rose garden.
Good morning, said the roses.
The little prince gazed at them. All of them looked like his flower.
Who are you? He asked, astounded.
We're roses, the roses said.
Ah, said the little prince, and he felt very unhappy. His flower had told him she was the only one of her kind in the whole universe, and here were 5,000 of them, all just alike, in just one garden.
She would be very annoyed, he said to himself, if she saw this.
She would cough terribly and pretend to be dying to avoid being laughed at, and I'd have to pretend to be nursing her. Otherwise, she'd really let herself die in order to humiliate me.
And then he said to himself, I thought I was rich because I had just one flower, and all I own is an ordinary rose. That and my three volcanoes, which come up to my knee, one of which may be permanently extinct. It doesn't make me much of a prince. And he lay down in the grass and wept.